Good morning. Welcome to Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Fresh, your host. I'll be with you for the next hour. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com. Welcome to the broadcast. My pleasure to be here and continue our reading and discussion of the book Behind the Dictators by L.H. Lehman. Very important book in our understanding of the Vatican Jesuit-led New World Order. The chapter that we're currently reading, chapter one in the book, Jesuits, Jews, and Freemasons. And if you have a copy of this book and you're reading along with us, we're going to pick up close to where we left off last time, if I didn't lose my place here. All right. We're currently on page 6 of the book, but I'm going to back up a paragraph for continuity purposes on page 5. Now, remember that the Roman Catholic Church is the woman that rides the beast of Revelation chapter 17. And the beast is a persecuting kingdom, a governmental power. And it is the purpose of the Vatican by divine right to rule the world. That is the New World Order. So keeping that in mind, we're going to try to understand what L.H. Lehman is telling us in this book. Now it says, we're speaking of the Second World War period. Leading up to the Second World War, we're talking about Nazism and Fascism and the Roman Catholic Church's role. And it says, in France, Germany, Hungary, Poland, Spain, Belgium, and Italy, the Jesuits, for many years before Mussolini and Hitler, led the fight against Jews and Freemasons. Now, before we continue, we want to remind the listeners, if you're a regular listener, you know that in order to cover the Vatican's crimes in the world, she blames the Jews. Anti-Semitism, or anti-Jew hatred, more correctly stated, is a brainchild of the Vatican. They call them Jew haters. Or, excuse me, they call the Jews Christ haters. And they believe, they teach, that they have replaced the Jews as God's holy people. So the Catholics are the new Jews of the world. And Jews are to be exterminated as having killed Christ. And also, the Roman Catholic Church attacks Freemasonry and links it to Judaism as a Protestant organization, which was the Protestant Reformation was actually the second great schism of the Roman Catholic Church and a heresy that needs to be routed off the face of the earth. So really their attack on Freemasonry is an attack on Protestantism. The Roman Catholic Church characterizes Freemasonry as a heretical Protestant secret society, when in fact Freemasonry serves the purposes of the Vatican Jesuit-led New World Order. Complicated as it may seem, we're going to see if we can unravel some of this. And he continues, he says, in each of these countries it was a Catholic priest, prototypes of Father Coughlin, who was the spearhead of fascist attacks on both Judaism and Freemasonry. In France, it was the Jesuit Father Dulac, with his Ligue Nationale Antisemitique in France. In Germany, the Jesuit Fathers Overmans, Muckermann, Loeffler, Packler. In Hungary, it was Father Adalbert Banga and Father Bresciana in Italy. All of these worked under the banner of positive Christian Positive Christianity and Christian Front to fight Judaism and Freemasonry in order to get the millions of unsuspecting non-Catholics to serve their ends. Now, this is a common practice of the Roman Catholic Church. Through propaganda and calumnies and incitements of hatred against certain sects to get unsuspecting, unwitting non-Catholics to serve Catholic ends. And that's what Freemasonry really is. A way to recruit Protestants into a compartmentalized secret society that, as they increase in their degrees in the higher and higher degrees of Freemasonry, they're told little and little and little more about what the organization is really all about. And when you get to the top, the 30th, 31st, 32nd, 33rd degrees, they're under control by the Black Pope in Rome. So it's Protestants being recruited into an organization that serves the Black Pope, that serves the Roman Catholic Church. All right. Now, they all proclaim a crusade, quote, for the Christian reformation of states and of the world. Father Overman states that the rock of positive moral Christian law is the best foundation for the creation of organizations capable of reuniting the members of all Christian religions. Now, that's another goal of the papacy, to unite other members of the Christian religion, that's Protestantism, back into the Roman Catholic Church, so that the Roman Catholic Church is all supreme. This is the ecumenical movement. This was the drive of the Second Vatican Council in 1965. All right, the ecumenical movement to reunite the rebel, heretical Protestants back under the authority of the Roman Catholic Church has been a goal of the Vatican ever since the Counter-Reformation began, right after the Protestant Reformation. Now, it says Father Huger, or Hugger, more correctly, S.J., that means he's a Jesuit, Father Hugger, shortly after the establishment of the German Republic, wrote in Stimmen der Zeit, June 1919, on page 171, quote, "We are facing a ruinous state of affairs. Once again, the work of restoration will have to be accomplished by youth. Will the congregations of Mary not go forth for the third time as the instrument of reconstruction chosen by divine providence?" So this is a call to war to reunite Christian Europe, or more correctly, Catholic Europe. And he's calling upon the congregations of Mary, this all-powerful organization under the divine oversight of Mary. See how they use their cultic Mary to inspire these youth. We're coming up on the Second World War here. They're preparing for a war. And it says, Hitler also identified his National Socialist Party with positive Christianity. Okay? He linked Christianity to his National Socialist Party. That his National Socialist Party was a Christian endeavor. And what we need to understand that this is not Christianity at all, it is Catholicism. And it says in his Mein Kampf, he states that he imbibed his anti-Semitism, which is a Roman Catholic trait, and his hatred of Masonry, which should be read his hatred of Protestantism, from the Catholic Christian Social Party of Liger, then mayor of Vienna, when he went there as a young man. By combating Jews, he says, I'm helping the work of the Lord. By combating Jews, I am helping the work of the Lord. What was Paul's instruction to God's people? Boast not against the branches. Because God could graft them back into the vine. It was our biblical Christian duty to provoke the Jews to jealousy for their own Messiah. But that's never been the strategy of the Roman Catholic Church. The strategy of the Roman Catholic Church has been to calumniate the Jews, to demonize the Jews, to incite the world to hatred of the Jews, so that they would eventually be completely eliminated from off the planet. And that strategy has never changed. And the only mercy in this world for a Jew in the eyes of the Vatican is that they renounce the God of the Bible and accept the Pope as their Messiah when they convert to Roman Catholicism. Now, continuing, it says, this Christian reform of states, this Catholic reform of states, don't ever be misled by their use of the term Christian. It is Catholic. This Catholic reform of states, which is also the subject of the late Pope's famous encyclical Quadragesimo Anno, is nothing else but the establishment of the fascist corporative state in which neither Jews nor Freemasons will have any part. Needless to say, it is also anti-Protestant. So, and that's a point that I've already made. This attack on Freemasonry is an attack on Protestantism. Because at the top, the Freemasons are controlled by the Jesuits. Now, the Jesuit fathers Packler and Muckermann proclaimed the fascist doctrines of Nazism before Hitler was heard of. So is Nazism a product of Adolf Hitler? Not according to this author. The Jesuit fathers Packler and Muckermann proclaimed the fascist doctrines of Nazism before Hitler was heard of. Father Muckermann wrote prolifically in favor of racial eugenics and sterilization, and continued to do so even in spite of the condemnation of sterilization in the encyclical Casti Connubii of Pope Pius XI in 1929. So see, here we have this two-headed hierophant showing its, you know, we have the white and the black pope. The white pope takes the position of a peacemaker and of a holy man to deceive Christians, while the black pope is inciting all the hatred. They work together. They're a team, the white pope and the black pope. And now, since the reestablishment of the Jesuit order, the black pope controls the white pope. So we have, on the one hand, the Jesuits advocating eugenics, racial eugenics and sterilization and all these other things that characterizes Nazism, while the Pope is writing encyclicals against such a thing. Don't be misled. Do not be deceived. And it says, Jules Michelet, the great French historian in his Histoire de France, and the German historian Wilhelm Herzog, stress the fact that those who directed the anti-Semitism at the time of the Dreyfus Affair depended upon the instructions and, above all, upon the financial support of the Jesuits. So, the Jesuits finance and support and promulgate anti-Jewish hatred. And it continues, it says, the Croix de Feu of the Parti Français in France and the Catholic Rexus Party in Belgium also had the support of the Jesuits. The Libre Parole, anti-Semitic daily newspaper, was founded by Jesuit money and its treasury was constantly replenished by the Jesuits. The anti-Semitic leaders of the Dreyfus Affair, which was a plot against the French Republic, were products of Jesuit schools and had Jesuit confessors. In France, as elsewhere, anti-Semitism and anti-Masonic campaigns took the form of integrated nationalism. Flowery term, isn't it? We're going to integrate the nations by attacking the Jews and the Masons, or Protestants. In other words, the goal of the Second World War and Nazi fascism was to create a Roman Catholic superstate in Europe. And it said they called for expulsion of Jews and Freemasons, the overthrow of the French Republic, and setting up of a nationalist state. Henlein's party in Czechoslovakia, likewise, preached the doctrine of Othmar Spahn, the theoretician of the corporative state and a protege of the Jesuits. One of the first acts of Father, now Monsignor, Joseph Tiso, when he became Nazi premier of Slovakia, was the destruction of all Masonic lodges. So that's a war against Protestantism. All right, in his Mein Kampf, Hitler repeats this principle of the Jesuits against Judaism and Freemasonry like a well-trained parrot. All that he says against the Jews and the revolution in Germany after the war about Zionism, Jewish exploitation of indecency and obscenity in literature, movies, theater, and the press, their part in the organization of vice, prostitution, white slavery, was borrowed almost word for word from the official writings of the Jesuits. Do you think that the Jews were the purveyors of all this vice in Europe? Let me ask you a question. Who are the purveyors of vice in the world? Have you ever studied the lives of the popes? Have you studied the current history, the current events of the Roman Catholic priesthood and its pedophilia? Sodomy running rampant in the Roman Catholic priesthood. How about this? Have you ever heard that the Sicilian Mafia, all Roman Catholic, are the ones who traffic in prostitution and drugs and pornography and all sorts of vice, and that their profits eventually wind up in the hand of the papacy? Who are the purveyors of vice in this country and around the world? Is it really Jews? The Jews who rejected their Messiah and God told them that they would be the tail of the nations and not the head if they didn't obey him? The Jews are persecuted from one end of this world to the next. The Bible leaves no possibility for a Jewish empire. Daniel chapter 2, four empires, all Gentile empires. Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greece, and then Rome. There's not a fifth one for the Jews. Who in the world would more like to see this Protestant experiment called the United States of America fail than the Vatican? And if the Vatican, sitting in Europe, wished to destroy spiritually, morally, and bring upon itself the judgment of Almighty God, how would Rome do that without simply raising up a military to destroy the United States? Simply peddle vice. Simply put out the temptation of drugs, pornography, prostitution, gun running, financing papal proxy wars through the Sicilian Mafia. And I believe it was John and Bobby Kennedy that knew the Pope was running that, and their purpose was to destroy this Protestant nation and to put its people under the heel of addiction to vice. And that's why Bobby went after the Mafia. It was a moneymaker for the Pope. He knew his Pope, he knew his church was behind the destruction of this country. And he also knew that the papacy wanted to use his Oval Office to overthrow this country. So we back up the clock to the period of the Second World War, and Hitler is blaming, and the Nazi regime is blaming, Judaism and Freemasonry, just another name for Protestantism, as the cause for all of the immorality in Europe. Calling for cleansing, spiritual cleansing. We got to kill all the Jews, and we got to kill all the Protestants, and we got to get back to Christianity, which means Catholicism, right? He says all that he says against the Jews and the revolution in Germany after the war about Zionism, Jewish exploitation of indecency, and obscenity in literature, movies, theater, and the press, their part in the organization of vice, prostitution, and white slavery, was borrowed almost word for word from the official writings of the Jesuits, who are the real purveyors of vice in the world. They blamed it on the Jews. And look how successfully that they calumniated and put the onus of all of this vice on the Jews. And what was the result? The Holocaust. And don't let this escape your mind, that the whole purpose of the persecution of the Jews during the First and Second World War was to drive those that remained to a homeland that the Vatican was preparing for them in what we now know as the nation state of Israel, created in 1948, so that they would flee for their lives to have their own nation, so that the Pope could use it to fulfill his futurist interpretation of Daniel 9:27. See how wicked and calculating the Vatican and the Jesuits is? Look, Israel, in reality, if my thesis is correct, and I insist that it is, it may not be perfect, but it's correct, that the modern nation state of Israel was created by the Vatican for the purpose of finding a final Jewish, settling the final Jewish question. To either completely annihilate them, and what's left, bring them into the Roman Catholic Church. Because I'm telling you, the Pope is the one who intends to rule from this proposed rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. It is the papacy behind the government of Israel. It is the papacy behind all of the trouble for the Jews. It's Roman Catholic anti-Jew hatred that brought about the modern nation state of Israel for their spiritual and physical destruction. And it's time for God's people to know the truth about it. We'll continue with the book when we get back from the break. You're listening to Inquisition Update on LibertyRadioLive.com.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive, that the entire world could be taken in by it? Working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Hear it first on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net.
Okay, welcome back to the second half of Inquisition Update. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com. Inquisition Update can be heard Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern, re-aired throughout the day. Check the schedule page, or better yet, just go to my website, www.inquisitionupdate.org. InquisitionUpdate.org. InquisitionUpdate, update.org. InquisitionUpdate.org, and click on listen or schedule or any of the other selections there at the top of the page, and you can find the schedule page there by clicking on the link and check the schedule page for re-airings in your area throughout the day. And for the best flexibility, subscribe to LibertyRadioLive.com and gain access to the audio archives and listen to all Liberty Radio Live programming at your leisure. Now, continuing the book Behind the Dictators by L.H. Lehman, and the chapter Jesuits, Jews, and Freemasons, he writes, in his Mein Kampf, Hitler repeats these principles of the Jesuits against Judaism and Freemasonry like a well-trained parrot. Now, before we even continue, we have to mention that many now believe that Mein Kampf was not written by Hitler, but by Stempel, Father Stempel, a Jesuit priest. So even Mein Kampf had a Jesuit ghostwriter. And it was a Jesuit strategy that was fomented in Hitler's Nazi Germany. Better should we recognize it as Ignatius Loyola's Nazi Germany, the Jesuits' Nazi Germany. This is the counter-reformation that's taking place during this Hitler regime. And it says, all that he says against the Jews and the revolution in Germany after the war, about Zionism, Jewish exploitation of indecency and obscenity in literature, movies, theater, and the press, their Jewish part in the organization of vice, prostitution, and white slavery was borrowed almost word for word from the official writings of the Jesuits. So the Jesuits are promoting Jewish and Protestant hatred, and says everything he says likewise about the Freemasons, their fight for religious tolerance, their efforts to break down racial and religious barriers, as well as their allegedly disloyalty to Germany during the World War, is in agreement with both the teaching of the Jesuits and the Popes in their encyclicals against Masonry. The Jesuit Father Bay, shortly after the revolution in Germany, wrote, quote, "The part played by many Jews at the time of the revolution, the Zionist movement, all this should be a lesson to those who take their religion and their country seriously to put themselves resolutely on the defensive. The increase of anti-Semitic literature and anti-Semitic organizations is evidence that the people are ready for the fight against Judaism," unquote. So this is a Roman Catholic Jesuit cardinal, Augustine Bay, inciting anti-Jewish hatred. Whenever you see anti-Semitism in the world, the onus is placed directly on the Jesuit order. And as far back as 1911, Father Overmans, writing in Stimmen aus Maria Lach, states, quote, "It is impossible to deny the harmful influence of the Jews on the ideal which we desire in our literature," that is, our Roman Catholic ideal. And it says, "The Jews must make use of the great scope of their influence to spread corrupt and obscene principles and thus cause immense damage to the spiritual life. Everyone can see that they create many literary works which are inspired by the vile and worldly ideas. The books of these writers are filled with the base pleasures of life, of vile sensuality and pure naturalism. The commercial sense of the Jews is not offended by the worst obscenities, white slavery, prostitution, and immorality of all kinds." Now, we've touched this before. Do you seriously believe that the Jews are responsible for all of this vice, when it is this type of vice that the Vatican needs to justify its interposition in the Hitler Nazi regime? Who benefits by all of this vice? Isn't it more reasonable to conclude that it was not the Jews who are the tail and not the head of the nations, but the Jesuits, who use their vice and blame it on the Jews to justify this Roman Catholic Nazi fascism that's rising in Europe, to unite all of Europe under the authority of the papacy and to drive the Jews to a new homeland for the futurist fulfillment of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Now, it says the popes before Hitler proclaimed all this in even more brutal terms. Pope Pius VII, who restored the Jesuits to the Catholic Church and the nations of Europe after the downfall of Napoleon in 1814, issued a bull in 1821 against the Freemasons. He calls Freemasonry a cancer and a deadly disease of society, and I have to agree, but for different reasons, obviously. And the reason he gives is because Masonic lodges uphold the idea of religious tolerance. More accurately, Freemasonry promotes pantheism. And if you study Roman Catholicism carefully, it too practices pantheism. Okay, so they have a common goal. In other words, you can pray in the name of just about any deity in existence in the Masonic Lodge except Jesus Christ. You can believe in Mickey Mouse as a creator or a divine power. You can worship any deity you want in Freemasonry. You only must believe in a supreme being. That's the minimum qualifications to be a Freemason. And it's abhorrent to me that any Protestant would ever join the Masonic order. But pantheism is the religion of Roman Catholicism. That's why Roman Catholicism is promoting ecumenism in the world, the unification of all the world's religions under the Pope's control. It says, and the reason he gives is because Masonic lodges uphold the idea of religious tolerance. Let me tell you, there'll be tolerance for any satanic religion in the world. The only intolerance that we're going to see in this world is for Bible-believing, God-fearing people. They are the only ones who are not invited to this ecumenical kumbaya, the Pope. And the Pope and the Freemasons are in bed together on this global world religion that's coming up in this New World Order. And here's the quote. It says, they receive into their order all classes of all nationalities and favor all kinds of moral codes and all forms of worship. That is true in the Freemasonic lodges. But you'll find there's no distinction in these regards with Freemasonry and Catholicism as the Pope envisions it, the New World Religion. They're one and the same. So why are they using these terms to damn Freemasonry? As a way to get to Protestants. As a way to justify persecution of Protestants. You see, there's an esoteric belief in the Roman Catholic Church that is believed by the hierarchy, which is Freemasonic, which is Jesuitical, which is ecumenical, and makes the Pope the God of every religion. And then there is the exoteric teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, which has a superficial facade of Christianity to deceive God's people into this mess. It's very complicated, but we talk about it all the time in the program. If you're a regular listener, sooner or later you begin to comprehend this. Now, the calumniating point in the Vatican's fight against Jews and Freemasons is to be found in the encyclicals of Pope Pius IX and Pope Leo XIII. Pius IX styles Masonic lodges as synagogues of Satan. And I'll just interject, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? They're one and the same, Freemasonry and Jesuitical Catholicism is one and the same, the synagogue of Satan. If you're a regular listener to this broadcast, you know that the Bible describes the Roman Catholic Church in vivid living color in Revelation chapter 17, and it is indeed the synagogue of Satan. And whatever appearances that Freemasonry has that resembles that synagogue of Satan is not coincidental. It's because Freemasonry is controlled by the Jesuit order. They're just two sides of the same coin. One is occupied by Protestants, unwitting Protestants that are used, drawn into this secret society to help achieve Vatican goals in the world. It says the culminating point in the Vatican's fight against Jews and Freemasons is to be found in the encyclicals of Pope Pius IX and Pope Leo XIII. Pius IX styles Masonic lodges synagogues of Satan and accuses them of having fomented wars and revolutions which put Europe to the fire and to the sword. Now, who foments the wars in the world? Have you read the Jesuit Oath lately? Read the Jesuit Oath again. It's important to refresh your memory occasionally with the Jesuit Oath. What does their oath state? That they are to foment wars between two parties that were previously at peace, incite them to war, and then operate on both sides of the conflict to manipulate the outcome, and then to even be there at the signing of the armistice to make sure that Jesuitical terms are agreed to by both parties. It's called the Hegelian dialectic, and the Jesuits use it to their benefit par excellence. It is the Jesuits who foment wars and revolutions. It is the Jesuits who put Europe to the fire and to the sword. Why? To extirpate out of Europe Jews and Protestants. Now it says Pope Leo XIII in his encyclical Humanum Genus in 1884 calls Freemasonry, quote, a work of the devil and an impure epidemic. He accuses Freemasonry of aiming to destroy the churches, the state, and the public well-being. Well, he's right about most of that, but he never admits that Freemasonry is controlled by the Jesuit order, and Freemasonry does destroy the churches, the Protestant churches. And you'll find in many of the ecumenical churches in this country a Freemason behind the pulpit. And what is he teaching? That God's law is dead. God's moral Ten Commandments are dead. And that we're under grace to sin like sailors. And what are they doing? Bringing God's wrath and judgment upon his people. Remember, the Jesuit order is the purveyor of vice. And what better way to sell your vice than to convince God's people that God's moral law is dead? And you're under grace to sin as you please, just as long as you believe in Jesus. And they're preaching this nonsense from the ecumenical churches, which have every intention of going back to the Roman Catholic Church, uniting all of Christianity under the headship of the Pope. Freemasonry indeed does destroy the churches. And that's why it is so imperative that God's people find out if their pastor is a Freemason, and if he is, give him his walking papers. And kick him in the backside once for me, will you? He accuses Freemasonry of aiming to destroy the churches, the state, and the public well-being. You know how the Freemasons are destroying this state, the United States of America? By promoting the ecumenical movement. By becoming the ecumenical leaders in this country, whose minds and hearts are set on achieving full communion with the Vatican. They operate as heads of state, they operate in the military, they operate in Congress, they operate in every controlling occupation in this country. And because of their pantheistic views, they're uniting the Protestant churches, which in their pure form represent single-mindedness. They have one mind in Christ, and neither they nor Christ are compatible with the world that they envision. They're called religious extremists. They're called fundamentalists. They're called domestic terrorists. And they seek to destroy us, to water us down, to ecumenize us, which means to Romanize us, which means to prepare us for the Pope's New World Order. They want full communion with the Roman Catholic Church that embraces every pagan religion of the world and excludes narrow-minded, fundamentalist, religious extremist Bible believers. They destroy the public well-being. What is the well-being of any nation? That it obeys the commandments of the Lord. That it comes under His protection and His love and His blessing. That's what Freemasonry is all about. It's Jesuitism, and guess who are the warriors at the bottom, unsuspecting, unwitting, scripturally and spiritually blind, deaf, and dumb Protestants. Now he states that among the chief reasons why Freemasons and democracy must be condemned are the following, quote, "They teach that all men have the same rights and are perfectly equal in condition, that every man is naturally free, that no one has a right to command others, that it is a tyranny to keep men subject to any other authority than that which emanates from themselves. Hence they hold that the people are sovereign, that those who rule have no authority but by the commission and concession of the people, so that they can be deposed, willing or unwilling, according to the wishes of the people. Thus, the origin of all rights and civil duties is in the people or in the state, which is ruled according to the new principles of liberty. They hold that the state must not be united to religion, and that there's no reason why one religion ought to be preferred to another, and that all must be held in the same esteem." Now, that's the characterization of Freemasonry. And let me tell you, most of it's true. Most of it's true. But you'll find that these beliefs and practices serve the papacy's end. Let me ask the Bible believers. You know, we as Americans, love our Constitution. Freedom of religion. But let me ask you something. Will there be freedom of religion in the kingdom of heaven? Will there be an ecumenical movement in the kingdom of Christ? Will there be a Buddha and a Pope and a soothsayer and a Muslim, Allah, sharing the throne with Almighty God? Will it be an ecumenical all skate? Or will there be one king and one people and one law? We need to reevaluate our value of the Constitution of the United States, because Rome's option is to use the advantage of the liberties that are given to them in the Constitution to unite all the world's religions against us, God's people. And Freemasonry is as instrumental in that aim as Jesuitism, because they're one and the same. Now, he ends his encyclical by inviting all Catholic clergy as well as the whole lay world to exterminate the Freemasons without mercy. Now, do you think when the Roman Catholic clergy under the Nazi regime is going to launch a campaign to exterminate Freemasons, do you think they'll be in the business of exterminating the Jesuits that run the Freemasonry at the top? Or will they be just exterminating the innocent dupes at the bottom, the Protestants, who haven't yet reached the higher degrees and haven't been indoctrinated into the Vatican Jesuit-led New World Order intent of Freemasonry? When this book talks about the Vatican going to war against Freemasons, when Nazism is going to war against Freemasons, it's an attack on Protestantism, the lower degrees. You can bet your hind end that the upper echelons of Freemasonry will survive this purgation in Nazi Germany. And it says, all this was the plan of Mussolini and Hitler as expressed and put into practice by Nazi fascism. Circumstances have permitted it to go farther than the popes and to carry its principles by propaganda, invasion, and war into the whole world. In undermining the position that Jews and Freemasons acquired since the French Revolution, it threatens to destroy the entire work of political and religious freedom initiated by the Protestant Reformation. So what's this author telling us? This is all could be characterized and categorized as just another Jesuitical counter-reformation. The whole Second World War period, the whole Mussolini, Hitler, Nazi fascist aim, not only in Europe but the world, was truly the Counter-Reformation. Jesuit-led Counter-Reformation. And while you're reading the Jesuit Oath, again today, if you have the time, take time and read the Jesuit Oath again, and you'll see that if the Jesuits ever cease to eliminate Protestantism in the world, they cease to be Jesuits. This is the Counter-Reformation. And it says, it thus serves the aims of the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuit Society, founded chiefly for the work of counter-reformation. For both Roman Catholicism and Nazi fascism regard the ideas that came out of the Protestant Reformation and the French Revolution as the chief source of the evils of our time. That's the target. God's holy people, Bible-believing Christians. That's what characterized Nazi fascism. Tomorrow on Inquisition Update.